Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Today's big idea is Christian education. Is it really needed and necessary in the 21st century? Well, we're going to hear from Steve Pettit, the president of Bob Jones University. Hey, Drew, it's time to advertise.
This is my favorite part of each podcast.
Yeah, but we're not going to advertise the book any longer. Nobody cares.
I mean, I think you've sold a few copies at this point.
It's done. It's done. Put a fork in it, because right now we've got a new thing to push on you,
tell us, great listener. Please tell us.
No, I can't, because some of these people are fast-forwarding right now.
That's true.
No, stop fast-forwarding.
Stop the scroll.
Okay, now you're ready. Here's what we're going to advertise to you. That is the official membership of the Idea Network.
So originally it was called the Charter Membership.
Charter Membership was
limited to like 100 people, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And everybody, and only those who joined up in 2021. You say, man, I want to be a Charter Member. Well, too bad.
You can no longer be a Charter Member. However, you can be a part of the membership program.
That's right, an official member of the ID Network. You say, but I listen to the podcast. You're not a member. Yeah, but I'm in that Facebook group. Not a member. Yeah, but I come to ID Day. Not a member.
I bought swag off the store.
Not a member.
Yeah.
But that swag, by the way, is awesome
stuff.
Pretty great. Yeah. Official members are those who are joining the 2021 Charter Members in our membership program. What does that look like? Well, it looks like a monthly fee that goes toward the functioning of the Idea Network and allows the Idea Network to do the things that it does. With that membership, this is what you're purchasing. You're purchasing a weekly virtual roundtable with myself and other ministry leaders for the purpose of creating an environment to share collaborative ideas between Idea Nights, Idea Days, and Idea Summits. These virtual roundtables have been a refreshing time for so many of us. But not only that, you receive a swag box with all of the greatest merchandise Idea Network has to offer and the ability to get involved in member-exclusive events. What are these member-exclusive events? Well, like coming up here in January.
Yeah, so think of like if you go to like a big event and there's like this special meetup that nobody knows about,
yeah,
except for like this elite group of people.
These are the elites.
That's it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For example, this January, we're going to be going to San Antonio and doing a members-exclusive Idea Day. And it's a lot of fun. Where we're going to stay, very nice place right there on the river. What are we going to do and what are we going to eat? Really nice event. In fact, we're pretty excited, Jeremy, Kylie, and I, because it's one of the nicest events we've ever put on. But this is only for our members. Look, we want you to be supportive of the network, and you want to be supportive of the network, but there's a lot that comes along with it. And we want you to be involved with the official membership of the Idea Network. All you have to do is go right to the website and look up membership and join us soon.
IdeaNetwork.church. Sign up there. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. Today on the episode, we have a very special guest discussing a vital question for today's culture. It's episode 114. We can't wait to get into it with you today.
Yeah, that's right. But it's nice and cool and crisp out here on November 2nd.
Love it.
And for those who know us deeply, you know it's not November. We recorded this back in like 2019 or something. but here we are. You're listening to it. It's November wherever you're at. I'm sure you're enjoying the beautiful weather. If you're not, man, you need to get outside. Now, I know some of our Midwest listeners, it's probably snowing up there somewhere already. I really do.
We're praying for you.
We're praying for you. Hey, don't worry. If it snows in November 2nd, it'll go away by April. You'll be fine. You only have five to 6 months of what you're seeing right now. We are glad that you're tuning in. We are going to be talking about, is Christian education really necessary, with Dr. Steve Pettit. But before we do, I want to talk about the Idea Day that's going to be coming up here in March in your area. Now, when I say Idea Day in your area, how could that be possible, Drew? What are we talking about?
Yeah, we've already passed Idea Nights.
Yeah, that's
those
right.
were a smashing success. Lots of you joined and tuned into there and had regional events going on.
That's right, all over the country. And we had a lot of fun with Idea Night. Now, Idea Day, which is only now, let's see here, 4 or 5 months away. It's going to be in March. And the reason we say it's in your area is because there are two Idea Days that's going to be back-to-back in the week, in the months of March. One in Chicago and one coming up in
Florida,
Tampa, Florida. So depending on what region you find yourself, or depending on what region you want to travel to, come on out. We're going to be in Florida, in Tampa, Idea Day, Florida. It's going to be taking place March 21st and 22nd. And then Idea Day Midwest is going to be taking place March 28th and 29th, right outside of Chicago. So, man, if you haven't had a chance to get away with your wife for a while, if you haven't had a chance to pull your husband out of the trenches and get away for a while, why don't you come out to one of the Idea Days, have a great time, and enjoy the beautiful sun of Florida or the springtime there in Chicago. We're going to have a great time. Drew, do you know if you're going to come to either one of those?
I'm hoping to come to both. We'll see.
Really?
I mean,
are you saying that for the podcast? Are you really thinking?
I'm thinking of
good. I hope you are. I know you've been to a lot of them,
but
I know your schedule is crazy. As we know, Drew ministers in the workplace of the world, and we're thankful for that. Oh, also, the membership program of the Idea Network is opening back up, and we want to give you an opportunity. You know, we only open up for official membership twice a year, but I've received confirmation from Kylie Dulo, our Idea Network director, that we have open slots, and it's going to be available in March. So if you are wanting to join the weekly virtual roundtables that take place every Tuesday, get that merch box and have an opportunity of having discounted prices for all Idea Network events. All you have to do is become an official member of the Idea Network. Contact the church offices. I'm in church mode.
Yeah.
Contact us at ideanetwork.church and we will get you registered to be an official member of the Idea Network, and we'd love to have you. Christian education. Drew, what is your relationship with Christian education?
I was brought up in Christian education. Had kindergarten, first grade at a private school, a Christian school in my area, literally right across the street from where we grew up. And then the rest of my days until I graduated high school was homeschooled using a couple different types of curriculum between Bob Jones and Becca and that kind of stuff.
Okay, very cool. Yeah, man, I was homeschooled from K-5 all the way through to college era, and that's why I'm so well-adjusted and as intelligent as I am.
Look at us, two homeschoolers doing a podcast. Yeah. We're supposed to be socially awkward and not be able to talk to people.
Hey, we're not the weirdos. The weirdos are the ones listening to this podcast. I can't believe that you would do this. No, Christian education has always been part of my life. In fact, my parents, and some of you that are listening that were homeschooled back in the 80s, you know what it's like. Our parents were on the forefront of this. They really had to take some battles and really fight for the right to educate their children in a Christian perspective as well as a homeschool perspective. Now, you might be listening right now and you say, well, my kids aren't homeschooled. My kids aren't Christian schooled. That's not the point. We're not here to make you feel bad about the situation that you're in. We love you. We're glad that God has directed you in the place that you are. We're kind of sharing our experience. And there was incredible benefit to me being homeschooled or Christian schooled within the home, and that was developing a Christian worldview. And so this question, is Christian education really necessary now that we're in the 21st century, we wanted to bring to our friend, Dr. Steve Pettit. Now, Dr. Steve Pettit is currently the president of Bob Jones University in South Carolina, a wonderful school and a great ministry. Many of our listeners attended there as their undergraduate degree. But Dr. Steve Pettit is not just the president there. He traveled as an evangelist for many years. He'll tell you a little bit about that. And we're grateful to have you here today. Dr. Pettit, tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Thank you, Josh and Drew. It is an honor for me to be able to speak with you today. And it also to speak about the whole concept of Christian education, which there's a little bit of an irony in my being the president of Bob Jones University, because number one, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I never really went to any kind of a Christian form of education until I graduated from college. I grew up here in the state of South Carolina back in the 60s and 70s, finished high school, public high school, and I went to a military school in Charleston, South Carolina called the Citadel. And during my freshman year, I became a believer and accepted the Lord, grew in the Lord. During that time, I felt a sense of the call to the ministry, surrendered to full-time Christian service. Around my sophomore year of college, went ahead and finished my degree at the Citadel. And then I came to Bob Jones University in 1978 for seminary training, Bible training, which was my first experience with Christian education. So that was very unique. And then I went into full-time ministry in 1980. My wife and I were married. We moved to Bridgeport, Michigan, and I served at the First Baptist Church in Bridgeport, where we had a Christian school. I taught Bible in the school. I was the assistant pastor who did everything, youth ministry, coached soccer, you know, what it was like in that day. And then when we started in the ministry of evangelism, my girls today who are 39 and 37 were 3 and 1. So we started the process of educating our children on the road, and all of our children grew up on the road, every one of them traveling and then doing homeschool over that course of time. And then in 2014, the chairman of the board of Bob Jones University called me and asked if I would be willing to send an application in to be the president of BJU, which we prayed about, and I did. And then I became the president, was voted in on the 8th of May, 2014. And of course, there's a lot of irony in all of this. I didn't grow up with a Christian education, never ran a Christian school, and surely not a Christian college, and was definitely not trained to do Christian education. So, and yet, my children said to me one day, they said, "Dad, how did you like go from where you are to where you are today? Because you never did Christian education." I said, "Well, actually, I did. I believed in it all along the way, because look how you were educated." Mm. So as a parent, I was very, very committed to how my children were going to be educated in this world. And so I think the proof was in our children.
That's an awesome story. And it's really inspiring to hear, you know, some of the historical context of where you got to where you are today. And I think it's really inspiring for a lot of our listeners to know, you know, a little bit about what your philosophy is on Christian education, as well as, you know, how you got to the position where you're in. We have a few questions, you know, kind of prepared today, but the first one we have is, why is Christian education essential for the 21st century church?
Well, I think of it in two ways. One is in a way what I've already stated, and that is, I think every Christian parent to whom God has blessed them with children feel this incredible responsibility for their child in every way, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. And I think the burden is that our children would grow up in the knowledge of the Lord, that they would grow up, number one, to become believers themselves, and secondly, they would grow up to walk in the ways of the Lord. And a part of that is the educational process. So I don't think that this is anything unusual in any generation of Christian parents raising their children. I think particularly today in the 21st century, as we are facing the incredible transformation of our own culture that we're living in, Christian parents have always struggled, if I would say, with the tension of being in the world and yet their children not being of the world, and the tension of, if I could say it this way, when my kids were growing up, I was sort of your basic parent in the 80s. That's when our children were born, 80s and 90s. And that is, I was concerned that my children would avoid sex, drugs, and rock and roll, if that makes sense. And by the time they got up into their latter teen years, 17, 18 years old, it dawned on me that that was never the issue with my children, that the issue was much, much deeper and much more insidious. And that's what Paul says when he says, don't be conformed to the world. And it really was the culture in which our children grew up in that was actually, it's the pressure of the world and in a biblical worldview, how to live in this world and be a believer and live for that which is unseen, which is the reality of faith. So that was really the bigger issue that I realized when they got up into their latter teen years and started in college.
And I feel so very similar to you in this. I've become so highly aware that the city we live in is not unique in the United States. It's not unique in the world. I mean, here we are in Las Vegas, Nevada, known as Sin City, the capital of sin in the United States. But the fact is, the world itself has always been an evil place. And the United States of America increasingly walking toward depravity and away from God. So how in the world, in my mindset, can we allow ourselves to raise Christians in Corinth? How is it that we can raise God's kids, like my father's book talks about, God's kids in Sin City? And no matter where you're at, whether it's the farming fields of Indiana, or in the depths of the sinful cities of Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Las Vegas, is it possible to raise these children in those wicked cities? And the answer is yes, absolutely, 100%. I guess the question is, how much time do your children spend being influenced by the corrupt culture versus how much time do they spend being influenced by Christian perspective? And so for us, Christian education for our own children, spending 35, 40 hours a week, and then including homework, the amount of time, even when they're studying math, even when they're studying history, even when they're studying English, to understand the world from a Christian lens is so much preferable than studying all of these things through the lens of a secular nation that at this point genuinely can clearly be seen is not only opposed to God, but seems to hate the things of God. So I'm in agreement.
Well, the natural man does not receive the things of God. And, you know, I think so much of it is just the digression of the culture. And in my estimation, it is primarily because of the accessibility of massive information comparatively to 30 or 40 years ago, it's transformed everything. So to not be intentional about the education of your children, especially in truth, in conflict with error, is a very serious mistake as a parent.
One of the things we faced is that we'll disciple a lot of new Christians, Corinthians, who transition to Christianity through repentance and reception of Christ. People are born again, and suddenly their children are being influenced, and they understand that they have Corinthian children. They have unbelieving children. What am I going to do with these children? And then they begin to come fight against the philosophies of Corinth, fight against the philosophies of the world, fight against the philosophies of the American mindset. The problem is they only have so many hours with them. So they come home from work and they sit down at dinner and they talk about things, and that's great. But then we go and watch television and YouTube and Netflix. And then we go to church for 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours a week. But the problem in the end is it's really hard to compete against 30 to 40 hours a week. It would be one thing if we felt like the secular institutions were unbiased, if we felt like they genuinely did not have an agenda to push themselves. And maybe you're sitting there listening to this, and maybe this is making you a little frustrated. Maybe you have a different perspective than Steve, myself, or Drew. And you might think, no, if that works for you and you genuinely believe that the secular institutions that are training our children have no agenda beyond secular education of math, reading, and these sort of things, then you're going to have to make a decision for your own children and for the sheep that are in your congregation. You're going to make some big decisions. I don't believe it's possible. I do not see that that's where our culture is. I believe that it's very important to protect our children from this sort of thing. So I know I take a really hard stand on that personally, and it's because I'm so passionate about raising these children for the gospel in the next generation. That leads us to our second question, Dr. Pettit. Number two, how can a Christian school advance the kingdom of Christ in the local community? The reason we ask this is because there are a lot of young pastors like myself, and we're quickly aging out of the young category into the middle-aged category, who have been planting churches and involved in church revitalizations. And it's awesome. We're really focused on the local church, believe in the local church, but I'm seeing much less of an emphasis on starting Christian schools as there once was, perhaps historically back in the 70s and the 80s. Number one, I guess, why is that the case? And then number two, is it true that we can advance the kingdom of Christ through our local community with a Christian school movement? What are your thoughts there?
Well, that's a great question, because I spent 30 years of my life in full-time evangelistic ministry as a traveling evangelist. And so obviously evangelism is a priority. That's not the issue here. And I know that that is not the issue in your local church. The question was, how can the Christian school advance the kingdom of Christ in the local community? And I would like to say that the school in and of itself is a part of that advancement. And I would like to actually say it that clearly, because I actually think the education itself is a part of that advancement, because the advancement of the gospel is not just bringing people to conversion, but it's bringing out the new life and living that out through the process of sanctification. And so therefore, a part of the kingdom is being advanced in the very sanctifying processes of the believers. Because when we look at salvation in the Bible, you have salvation as a whole. If I can say it this way, it's like a basketball. It's a wholeness to it. And that involves justification, sanctification, and glorification. So my concern would actually be in the advancement of the gospel in the sanctifying process of your own next generation, because we are only one generation away from apostasy. And that is a part of, I mean, you're a part of the process yourself. You know, if we talk about advancing the kingdom, both of you were in Christian education, homeschooled, and here you are, you're advancing the kingdom in evangelism, but also in the church. So it's the stability of the church, to me, that's really important.
I love it. It's a fantastic point. It's not simply that people may come to your school, repent and receive Christ as Savior. They're born again. They're saved. Awesome. Really, it's making sure that there's a foundation that people do not walk away from the faith when they turn 16, 17, 18, 22. I think that's a great point. And if we can properly, as some historically have called it, catechize our children well throughout the training process, there is a much less obvious way that they're going to be walking away from the church. That's a great statement. I love it. What do you think, Drew?
Yeah, I think it's good in the fact that, you know, we're trying to talk about Christian education as a whole, like you're saying, in the analogy of the basketball, right? Like, just because we believe in Christian education and it doesn't have to necessarily be confined to the four walls of something that says Christian Academy, Christian school on it. Christian education can take place outside of that environment while we're still encouraging that. It can take place outside of that. And I think it's all about the involvement of the parents, which we're all, you know, talking about, and how we place an emphasis on. At the end of the day, it's the parents' job to educate the children, not an institution.
I think it's a good point. And that's one of the things that we preach here at Southern Hills. Not everybody's in the position, and maybe you're listening to this and you're a layperson or a church planter, and you're not in a position to say, man, I really can't necessarily send them to a Christian school, can't afford to, or I might not be able to homeschool them because I'm working full-time planting a church, my wife is working. I get it. So what we do is we tell our church the same thing here at Southern Hills in Las Vegas. If you're in a position where your children are going to be public educated, make sure you are a highly involved parent. Join the PTA. Get on the school board. Attempt to be involved at the highest level. Walk through the homework with your children as much as possible. If not, homeschooling becomes an option for some. It was not an option for me. Now, growing up, I was homeschooled. It was an option for my family because Heather and I will admit that we will ruin our children. We would not be great homeschoolers because we would not be disciplined to do it properly. So we send them to a Christian school education, which I think has been helpful for us. Now, here's a thought. There are some probably out there who are pastoring who are beginning to feel this calling. Maybe I need to start a Christian school. Dr. Petta, I'd be interested from your perspective, what should they be aware of? How? What are the steps? What are they not seeing if God is calling them into this work? Is that something that is a good time now to do? Or what would your thoughts be to somebody who's considering starting a Christian school?
Well, of course, Christian, and I'm assuming in yours, you're thinking of a K through 12 type setting. My world is higher education, which is college. But, I think there are different types of Christian schools. There's your local church Christian school, which is started out of a church. There is a community Christian school that's a little bit more, if I would say, board run, and their focal point is generally more, if I would say, where a church school has a tendency to be more more. I hate to say it this way, but they're more concerned about the spirituality side of the kid. They want education, but the spiritual is really important. And this is not necessarily fair, and others may take issue with this, but a board run school is usually they focus really on a high educational level, and I would like to encourage both of those in education. So it could be whether it's a local church. It's quite an undertaking for a church school to do that. I mean, a church to do that. I don't know if you can work it out with a community of believers in an area that could to start a school. South Carolina right now, we have all kinds. We have most of our schools in Greenville area are not church schools. There's one exception, but most of them are board run type Christian schools. We have a very strong homeschool group here in upstate South Carolina, and they actually work through a local church here in the community where they meet once or twice a week. I think it's upwards to about 800 students that are involved in this. So it's a combination, it's a co-op type setup that they have. So I think there's a lot of ways to do it. But I think all of them are most concerned, they would say, of having an education with a biblical worldview. That's really what it really comes down to.
I love the idea that you said of combining with other community leaders that are having the same Christian worldview perspective and establishing a school together. I mean, you might be a Christian educator right now listening to this, and you're thinking to yourself, man, that's exactly what I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a church planter, but man, I would love to start a Christian school. So at the Idea Network, we're always talking about ideas. Maybe it is that you begin to reach out to pastors at the same time. And some of those pastors might be thinking to themselves, man, I'd love to start a Christian school, but there's no way I'm going to do that. Not within our church setting. We need somebody who knows what they're doing academically, a professional educator. And maybe you partner with a church or a few churches to make that happen. You brought up higher education. You lead in that realm specifically. That's what Bob Jones University does. Let's talk about the importance of Christian perspective in higher education. So now within our youth group, we've got 100-some kids, and many of them, they want to go off and become a nurse, or they want to become an attorney, or perhaps they want to go into business. Why a Christian perspective in the higher education level?
Wonderful question. I'm going to back up and kind of give you some ideas that were two things. One would be a current writer, and then the other would be why Bob Jones Sr. started BJU. There's a gentleman who has been the president of a number of Christian institutions. His name is David Dockery. He's done a lot of wonderful writing. He's written a book called Faith and Learning, and in it he says there's three major moral decision-making times in the life of a young person growing up. The first is between 6 and 14 months old, where they learn that very important two-letter word called no. And it's a word that they'll live with the rest of their life. The second time is somewhere right around what we call the middle teen years, sixth grade, seventh grade, where they're making decisions about their friendships. Who's going to be their gang? Who are they going to run with? And then the third time is actually your first year out of high school, somewhere around 18, 19, where you're really coming now that you're technically out of the home of your parents. It's just that transitional period into young adulthood where you're really crystallizing really my faith. What do I really believe? My faith, my friendships, my worldview, my morality. All of those are coming to that 18 to 23 year old period time of life. And that's where Christian education has always stood at the crossroads. When Bob Jones Sr. founded BJU in 1927, he was concerned about the negative influence of the secular and liberal education of the 1920s. And there was a confluence of three movements going on in the country. One was religious liberalism at the time, what we call the modernist fundamentalist controversy. The second was the advent of the atheistic materialism being taught through evolution that had come into state universities. And then the third was the rise of political socialism in the United States at that time, especially because of the influence of Marxism around the world. So those three elements, and as he saw that the world was being reshaped from what he knew in his growing up years. And that was 95 years ago. And I think about that in light of today. And I think of our students coming in to Bob Jones University, many of them coming in from Christian homes and churches. And yet really they are definitely not crystallized in their and where they really stand. So I think it's absolutely crucial that they be in an environment that really challenges them in their thinking, to teach them critical thinking, biblical worldview. And I think also in somewhat of a protective environment. I still realize 18, 19, 20 is a different ballgame than 15, 16, 17. But being in that atmosphere where they're challenged to think scripturally, and they're also surrounded by friends that will become friends of a lifetime. We always say in high school, you live with your parents and you visit your friends. And in college, you live with your friends and you visit your parents. So whoever those are, I think of life's choices in marriage. I think that's a really, really big deal. We often don't really make that as big a deal, but it really, really is. And then, of course, your establishment in the local church. Where do you stand on the church, the body of Christ? Are you really committed to it on your own will, if I would say it that way?
You know, one of the cool things that I love about where BJU is right now is the encouragement of sending students into the local community and being part of the local church element. Can you speak to that? For those who are familiar with Bob Jones University, I love that. Can you speak to your position on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I came to be the president at Bob Jones, our students, they used to have services on campus here for many, many years. That changed the year prior to my coming. And since I've been here, we have written a philosophy of biblical worship that we teach our student body. And we have a kind of an odd requirement. We actually require students to go to church, but we can't control that decision because we don't control a local church. And that would be the most offensive thing in Greenville is to try to control a pastor in an independent, autonomous congregation. So what we try to do is we try to teach a biblical philosophy. We actually involve the parents of freshmen as they're making decisions that they actually communicate with their parents where they're going to go. Greenville's a Bible Belt. So we have within a 20-mile radius of the campus of Bob Jones, we have 400 gospel-preaching churches. So it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. So so we teach a philosophy of worship, and our students have to choose where they go. One thing that we're just really, really strict on is that you have to go to church. And we'll get a few pushbacks, say, look, we're adults, we can make our own decision. And I go, you know, you're right about that. No problem. What you need to do is transfer.
That's awesome.
It's that easy, right?
we feel like you can't separate Christ from the body. You can't do it. And we really want our students to find a body of believers here, worship and serve there, be involved in the local church. And so many of them go to, I guess our students are probably going to about 190 churches.
That's awesome. That is absolutely incredible. And my nephew himself is loving his time there. He's in his sophomore year and just enjoying his local church as well as the education there. You know, lastly, I just wanted to bring out this question. There are a lot of ministry leaders that are listening to this podcast, many different types of ministry leaders, and they're thinking to themselves about higher education, not for just the students they minister to, not just for their children. They're thinking about higher education for themselves, perhaps pursuing that master's degree, perhaps going for that doctorate. Can you speak to the concept of should a minister maybe consider pursuing an advanced degree? And in what cases should they? What cases maybe they shouldn't?
Well, I think especially today, even more so than in the past, learning today is a lifelong experience. Used to be you go to school and then you go to work. And that was kind of, it was kind of a black and white situation. It is not that way today because learning never ends because of information and technology. And so I think if you are a minister and you have only an undergraduate degree or maybe just a simple master's degree, that really you need to constantly sharpen your edge and improve. It's very, there may be a few, but I just haven't met many 22-year-olds yet who have the knowledge to really carry the weight of a preaching ministry week in and week out that they really need to be solid theologically. And theology takes time to age. You know, it's like cheese. It takes time to age. I could say wine, but we'll just stick with cheese. And I think, I mean, I've been studying theology for 45 years, and there are things today that make sense to me that I struggled with 30 or 40 years ago. And I really think you need to have ongoing challenges academically.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would definitely encourage doing an online degree for sure.
Well, Dr. Pettit, if somebody in our audience is interested in pursuing something at Bob Jones University, how would they go about that process? What would be some next steps? What's the first thing you would say? Hey, I would go this direction. This is what I would do next.
Yeah, we have a full-blown master's degree program online at seminary.bju.edu. And you can go from a simple MA all the way up through a DMin. Everything can be done online, including an MDiv. I think our first course is free. So if you come in and apply, you can get on, take the first course for free. If you like it, you can go forward in that. That's for theological education. We have other online programs that you can get, but that would be the main thing.
Thanks for that information. And hopefully our listeners will take advantage of some of those resources. I have one more quick question. It's a personal one just before we go, if that's all right.
Yes.
So what would you say to, especially regards to higher education, the parents that are considering, you know, where to send their kids, and maybe some of the stigma around, hey, if I send my kids specifically to a Christian institution, will that limit their potential career opportunities after they graduate from higher education?
Great question. I can only speak for Bob Jones University,
sure.
And the answer is absolutely not. They have every amazing open door. Our kids come in. We have over 100 degrees, 6 different colleges, from health professions to education to business to accounting to all the STEM degrees, technology, engineering, everything is available. We're a fully accredited institution, so all of our graduates can go to any master's level and upward to doctorate level. We have kids all the time getting into doctorate of physical therapy or pre-med, getting into med school. It really, the sky's the limit. There's really no hindrance at all in our situation today.
Yeah.
So I just make sure you go to a school that you can, you know, that they're going to give you the open doors, next steps, to move forward.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's really good. If our audience would like to connect with you further on social media, how can they find you, Dr. Pettit?
They can write to me at president@bju.edu. I am on Instagram, BJU President, Twitter, BJU President. They can DM me if they would like, or they can write me an email at president@bju.edu. However they want to do it. I'm pretty easy to reach and would love to communicate with anybody.
Man, we really appreciate the time that you spent with us today. We're excited about that and would love to have you back on the podcast to discuss upcoming ideas, anything that you would like to share with us or our audience. We look forward to that in the future.
It would be my honor. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.